We're back here. Jess, is your printer fixed yet?
Oh, no, no, friend. No, she's toast. I've burnt her. She's dead to me. I'm on the market. So if anyone has any recommendations or I think I know some places that I could probably do a couple of searches, get a few comparisons, bada bing, bada boom. You know, it's our friends at the ChatGPT or
yeah,
right?
Mr. AI.
Isn't that what the cool kids are doing these days?
Exactly. No, this is great. Welcome to the Watson Weekend. We're your hosts. I'm Rick Watson.
Hi, it's Jessica Laseski. And we're coming to you on a Wednesday, which is very off for us. But yeah, it's the holidays, right? So
yeah, the Watson Weekend is still your weekly hit of retail tech and e-commerce news. So just shifted.
We're here. Yes. Don't worry. It's the same show. Just
we're still not professionals.
Different time. We are not professionals. We never claim to be, but we hope you're having fun along the way. So that's what we're here to do.
Exactly.
And we've got another exciting show for you guys. We try not to disappoint.
We have a super exciting show. We have Sonal Gandhi, who's a chief content officer at The Lead, and Margot Oshri, who's a senior director of talent and influencer marketing at Authentic, which is an incredible group of brands.
Yes.
The Lead is just announcing what they're calling their D60 Next list, which is they've had this D60, like super important leaders in sort of the retail e-com universe that are in the direct-to-consumer space. They have just released their next list, which is sort of like the next generation of leaders that are up and coming. So I'm excited to talk. You'll hear me talk with Sonal and Margot about that.
Yeah, that's amazing. There's a lot of really emerging talent. It's exciting to see. And in the ever-changing landscape of retail, these people are up on their game.
It's hard to imagine. Someone's doing better than we are.
So yeah. Well,
it actually makes me feel good.
Yeah. Is that hard? But we'll, yes, here we go.
We also wanted to give a shout out to our sponsor, Miracle, because our traditional e-commerce is just code for not growing. It's time to do better than the status quo. Join over 450 retailers who are scaling 6 times faster with AI, automation, and a platform built for what's next. And that includes marketplace, dropship, and retail media at enterprise-grade scale. So it's time to accelerate with Miracle. So
that's right. Thank you, Miracle.
Thanks, Miracle, for
this fine program.
We truly appreciate you. I'm actually going to go see some of those folks tonight at the U.S. Open, which will be in the past when you see this. So
fun.
Yes. So that is super exciting.
Well, in keeping with tradition, we've gotten so much great fan mail. A fan mail about our new headline hangover approach. So we're going to keep that rolling. Let's get into it. Yeah. So if you're new, the way that we do this is we block out a headline. And since this is a little doozy, I might give Rick a little bit of a clue here. There's a percentage that we're looking for, Rick. And it's related to another.
AI drives 5% of traffic.
Oh gosh, you're so close. No, it's a 4,700% surge in traffic. Yeah. So
I guess 4,700% from zero is
it's pretty impressive, right?
Yeah,
there's only one way to go, and that's up. Keep climbing. But yeah, so look, the way I see this is the Kardashians need to move over because there's a new influencer in town. And it doesn't even need a glam squad because according to Adobe, who, as you guys know, does a lot of like traffic analysis, every Black Friday, Cyber Monday, they come out with like their comps. And the latest trend that they're tracking here is what are people doing with these AI engines and how are they using them to power like now their product searches, which might be a little bit of a concern for someone like a Google or maybe even an Amazon. We'll see. But yeah, AI powered referrals have spiked like 1300% year over year. That was like starting with the holiday season. Traffic rose 1100% in January, 3100% in April. And then, you know, we hit the mega spike in July, I guess, as people are coming back to school. So some other things that are interesting in this study, AI-driven visitors are staying 32% longer on sites. They click through 10% more pages. They bounce 27% less often. So, I mean, are ChatGPT fans keeping people glued, like dropping a new album, or glued like the Kelce
Swifties?
Swifties. I mean, I've been glued to this news, but here we go. So what are you thinking, Rick? Is this like the next wave of traffic sources? Like, should Google be worried? Should Amazon be worried?
I don't think either are going to be worried. You still have to fulfill it for different reasons. First of all, people are still going to type in Google. They have added AI and AI overviews, which seem very popular.
Yep.
And so Google has its own version. Look, anything that takes share from Google, you should be worried about. I don't think it's an existential risk to Google, because it's not like they're sleeping on this totally. So it's definitely important. It's definitely going to keep going. Amazon, last I checked, Johnny Ive and Sam Altman do not know how to deliver anything. So I think Amazon, they'd be fine.
That'd be all right. All right. Yep. We'll see if they keep trying to close the loop as people try to do. Marketplaces 4.0.
Awesome.
All right.
We have our next story is similar level difficulty. And so this is a luxury fashion brand. And if you want one of their trendy $2,100 jackets, which is pictured here. Wow, this is like a new touch. Libby is really keeping us fresh here.
Yes.
First you'll have to what?
Ooh, first you'll have to.
These are custom jackets.
Custom jackets. It's not going to be something obvious like join a wait list. First you'll have to. I don't know. I'm stumped. Give it to me.
Totally stumped. Fill out a questionnaire about your life.
Wow.
So
that was reaching. Yeah. Just
so reaching. Yeah. Like, we have an issue with our producer. So the brand in question here is called Bodhi. It's a luxury fashion brand known for its unique hand-illustrated clothes and accessories.
Wow.
This started by a vintage shop owner, Chandler West, and her husband got married in April. Her husband, Connor Webb, didn't want to wear a tuxedo. Everyone spends money on weddings anyway. So like it only cost $2,100 to get kind of like custom hand painted stuff on this vintage corduroy jacket. And so the trend, I think, started to take off, and it kind of makes sense that, you know, anything custom personalization that's in merch is interesting. Harry Styles wore custom pants for his Vogue cover.
Oh,
were those the fire ones? I can't.
It's gonna have fire or sequins or satin or something if it's on Harry Styles. Like, it's not just gonna be plain black.
Exactly. Know? So, that is a trend. First of all, do you think this is gonna be a trend on weddings, and could this cross over into other parts of fashion?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think people, while there is always like your Lulus, your, you know, trendy things that everybody wants to have, that something special is interesting. I mean, dropping 2,100, there's only so many people that can do this. I mean, Rick, you're clearly one of them. I'm sure you have one of these hanging in your closet right now. If you don't, we're going to work on that. But I think it appeals to a certain smaller percentage of the population. I don't know how big this really will get big and wide, you know?
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I think it's going to increase in importance. People want something that's like them. It's going to get ruined by fast fashion. You just know it. So
of course.
Yeah, it's gonna be overrun. So yeah. Let's go to the next story.
Okay. So US bound shipments, what's happening with them in Europe and Asia, Rick?
U.S. bound shipments declined or blocked?
Oh, you're close. Restricted by postal carriers in Europe and Asia. And here's what's happening. You know, the global postal system is kind of in chaos because the de minimis rule is about to take in, you know, effect. The U.S. gave foreign post guidance on August 15th, which last I checked, that's about 2 weeks. And you know, postal systems turn on a dime about as fast as yes. So that they had to retool systems, train staff, redo paperwork, basically revamp all their processes by the end of the month. So packages that used to skate through that were under this $800 exemption, they either pay tariffs or they've got to have a new $80 to $200 processing fee. Some qualified party, no one knows exactly who, has to prepay. So a lot of these operators are suspending services. Packages are tied up. And essentially, you know, the impact is felt mostly by Shein, Temu, you know, Amazon third-party sellers, even some Etsy sellers who rely on, you know, overseas carriers to help get things through. So, yeah, I mean, the global poster network's kind of treating the U.S. like a toxic ex right now. Maybe your grandma's postcard gets through, but, you know, those $5 phone cases, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, look, any disruption in a postal service is a disruption for everyone, just given how big of a carrier they are. It's something to watch. I guess it just shows, like, for every action, there's a reaction.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how long the U.S. can hold out here. Will there be an outcry from the business community or not? So I will keep my eye on it.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, you know, the things that can move freely, like I said, are letters, gifts, under $100. How many people are going to be finding that gray area?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, like I said, it's grandma sending you cases of bulk iPhones. How big?
It's fruitcake. It's fruitcake, trust me.
It weighs a little bit more. It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, it does.
All right.
Our next story is in the world of startups. Again, so difficult. YC or Y Combinator backed Oway raises $4 million to build a decentralized what?
Decentralized fulfillment center? I don't know.
Fulfillment center is in the range. It's Uber for freight.
Okay.
Which is a little bit, but the startup has basically identified the fact that, you know, there are a lot of trucks on highways and most of them are not full. And so they're trying to match truck drivers with, you know, that are on less than truckload shipments with other shippers that could fill that empty space, which it's expensive to ship empty space a long time. Anyone who's been in fulfillment, Dave Glick taught me that the whole idea is to fill trucks fuller. So
yes,
if you're listening, Dave, you get a shout out today.
Thanks for the tip.
Exactly. Huge tip. However, I mean, the only big problem with this startup, and obviously if you're starting a company, it's always risky, whatever. There already is an Uber for freight. It's called Uber Freight.
That's right.
Maybe they have a 10-year head start.
Yeah, it's all right. And, you know, probably lots of cash and already a network and a delivery system. Yeah. But hey, you know, there's always room for disruption.
Yeah, I think there is. Look, the world could always use more competition. Logistics is always a super competitive field. So I'm excited to see if these guys are able to get in and grow.
That's right. Someone's got to crack it.
So, no, that's great. So that's our headline hangover. Thank you guys for listening. On our show today, which I can introduce. By the way, there's a Easter egg in the opening credits on YouTube. If you go back and find it, it's an homage to Cracker Barrel and the troubles that they've had this week. Huge shout out to Matt Azik for the credit on the AI, admittedly AI generated imagery, but still inspiration. Humans have to come for something.
That's right. You know, look, the idea didn't come out of nowhere, right? It came out of that big, beautiful brain of Matt Azik. And, you know, what's interesting, and I love the take, is I think it's a glow up.
It is. It's a glow up. Exactly. It's a glow up. So that's exciting. But on the show today, let me quick set it up. Sonal Gandhi, Margot Oshry, I introduced it before with the lead, the D60 Next list, and let's go into it. All right. This is Rick Watson from RMW Commerce here on the Watson Weekend, and we are interviewing two great folks in the industry to support the release of the Direct 60 Next list from the lead. We have here Sonal Gandhi, who's the Chief Content Officer at the lead, and Margot Oshry, who's the Senior Director of Talent and Influencer Marketing at Authentic. So welcome you guys to the program.
Hi, thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Rick.
Awesome. Well, glad to see you again, Sonal, and welcome, I think, meeting for the first time, Margot. I would love to maybe just start broadly. I think everyone at this point knows who Authentic is and who the lead is, but like, why is this coming together? What is the Direct 60 Next list? And how does it fit into what the lead is trying to accomplish for itself and I guess for the industry?
Yeah. So Lead's been publishing the Direct 60 list for the last 4 years. We'll be publishing the fifth one early September, right after Labor Day. And in the course of doing the list, the Direct 60, and in the course of, you know, programming the summit for the last 6-7 years that we've been doing it, we realized that, you know, there's this new generation of leadership at brands that's, you know, actually executing the work of, you know, the brands. And they're the ones sort of talking about these strategies and the work that they've been doing to grow the business of brands. So we thought it'd be interesting to start to showcase and highlight the work of these individuals. And create this D60 Next list. We believe that these next folks that are on the list will be the D60 in the next few years, but their work is really important and pivotal to the industry to start talking about it now.
Got it. I mean, and I think what are some of the places in the lead that we'll start seeing this next list and the involvement of the participants?
So I think a lot of the folks that are on the next list, they're typically the ones that are, you know, presenting case studies at our summit, right? They're the ones that our partners bring to talk about the work that they've been doing with the partners. And that's sort of an inspiration. Like, you know, we're hearing these people talk on stage about, you know, all the, you know, great work they've been doing when it comes to marketing, it comes to e-commerce, and it comes to customer experience. So why not start highlighting and really bringing that together as a list? We are also going to have a ceremony to celebrate the folks on October 9th in New York City and really bring them all together. The idea is we've actually created a fraternity of folks on the D60 list, you know, doing it over the last 4 years, and we want to do the same for this community. So really start to identify, highlight, and then bring them together so that they can also know each other and build that community together.
No, that's great. So it's good to get a background on the list, as I think as we go into talking to Margot a bit about her background, you know, her role at Authentic, her kind of retail career. We'd love to just, you know, kind of start simple there.
Yeah. So hi, I'm Margot. I've actually been with Authentic for the past 6 years. I sort of started as like social media manager, and then, you know, our social media team and marketing team combined because social media is such a driver for marketing that it just made sense. And then we were integrated marketing, then took on global marketing and all that. So now we've kind of siloed as the company has grown and has scaled. I can give like a quick synopsis on Authentic. It's a global licensing company and a brand management company. So essentially we will buy the IP of brands, own the brands entirely, but well, not always entirely, but for the most part. And then we'll license out categories and products. So we'll have like a bunch of different licensees and partners that we work with, but then while also doing the marketing in-house, the business development, global expansion, and all that. So it's a really interesting business model because like we don't really have any overhead and, or anything like that, but we are, you know, the owners of the brand and the ones who are handling all of the marketing. So I've kind of seen like all different facets of the marketing space at Authentic in the different roles that I've had. We've recently sort of done this like reorganization where we have these like more niche teams, obviously, as we've scaled and as we've been doing more talent partnerships, and we run a lot of the social in-house. So we now have like a dedicated social team, a dedicated talent and influencer team. And then we have like our brand marketing team that really deals with like our partners and our licensees and all of that. So for me, I've kind of just taken on this role. I've always loved the influencer talent marketing space. It's like where I've thrived. I'm like an influencer myself. So like I've always been in this world. It's been my favorite part of like the marketing piece of it when I've been working on these brands. So like now being able to like truly just do that across the entire like lifestyle portfolio, which is like Reebok, Champion, Lucky Brand, Juicy Couture.
Do we add guests in that list now?
I
saw the PR, and to your point of outright, it's a 51% deal. Yeah. Not that we're scooping anyone.
Yeah. No, it's true. And it was on WWD like 5 minutes ago. So yeah. I think that we can talk about it. So yeah, now guest is now going to be part of the family. It's not officially closed, obviously, but that announcement was made, and we're obviously always acquiring more brands. So, you know, it's very, it's exciting here for sure.
Yeah, no, that's super cool. So I guess your role is a complex one, given that you're not a traditional brand, you know, integrated brand owner. And so you're working with, as you said, the licensees and the brand owner, and then you have the team that's executing marketing, for these brands. Talk to me about how your role was created and evolved, what KPIs you're responsible for, who are your primary customers. Those sorts of things.
So basically the role, I mean, obviously for so many of our brands, like for Aeropostale, Lucky Brand, Juicy Couture, Reebok, Champion, all these brands, like so much of what we were doing was influencer marketing. So much of our marketing budget was going towards that. Like it was such a big part of like our content hierarchy in general for like paid media and advertising and all of that. So for one, there was like the influencer piece of it, whereas like we definitely needed like a dedicated influencer marketing team across, because we're running these programs like on a monthly, if not even more frequent basis for all of these brands. And then also we started to sign a lot more talent. So we had Cole Hauser for Lucky Brand. We had signed Bryson DeChambeau for Reebok, Angel Reese for Reebok. We've had, you know, Kevin Sullivan for Aeropostale. I can say this is launching next week, right? This releases next week.
Yeah.
So tomorrow we're announcing Addison Rae for Lucky Brand, and she's coming out with a whole collection and a whole campaign. So like that's been like something that we're scaling a lot more. So with that, we just saw a need, like we needed to fill this need to like have dedicated people to it. And also it's much more streamlined when you have the same people kind of doing it across all the brands in the portfolio versus having kind of like, initially it was, you know, we would each have like our sort of like little portfolio of brands personally, but this just kind of made a lot more sense in order to kind of scale it.
Got it. Do you think this is something that's going to be increasingly its own role within brands themselves rather than outsourced to an agency? Or how do you see that balance?
You know, I see the need for both. I really think it depends on like the capabilities of the people who are working there. It's like some people are not really like, they're much more kind of, you know, strategic or like more kind of thinking like they can have the vision, but they can't really like do the execution, which is totally fine. And then they'll give it to an agency to do that. Mm-hmm. I think what kind of Authentic we pride ourselves on is like really the ability to kind of do anything in-house. And so I think it really just depends sort of on the company and kind of what their needs are.
Obviously, as you said, rightly so, influencer marketing is such a big part of marketing these days because you want to get a trusted third-party voice speaking on behalf of your brand, not just a generic faceless someone. You want someone that people can relate to. What advice would you give to directors, managers, someone who wants to be in your shoes in a couple of years, who want to make a bigger impact in their organization?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a couple things. I think one, like, not, I feel like this is so cliche, but it's like not being afraid to speak up. Also, because like the younger generation, especially in like influencer marketing or talent or social, like they're the ones who know what's going on in the world in pop culture. They're the ones who are constantly on their phones. Like you're going to know better what could be a better fit for a brand than someone who's like not scrolling on TikTok every 5 minutes. And like, that's important. And so I would say not being afraid to like pitch an idea, because like you probably have your finger on the pulse better than most people because you're submersed in that culture. And I also think it's like kind of like making, I'm not going to say like making friends or like being kind of like friendly with like everyone in other departments. I think it's like really easy to get kind of siloed in like just like working with the people that you work with on a day to day. But like there's a lot more other teams that are like important and like also that you can learn from. So I think just kind of like networking within your own company too, I would say is probably incredibly important as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think networking, especially with you return to office, some companies are still remote, some are coming back to the office. I guess, are there any practical tips that you have for networking better?
Yeah. So like, I mean, we are back in the office 4 days a week, and then we will be once, like 5 days a week, once a week, every month after Labor Day. And so for me, like what I would usually just do is like, I would just go sit down in somebody's office and just like, if I had a question about something, like, you know, usually would probably start like with a question about something and then you just like start chatting and then like, it's kind of just takes off in that sort of way. I will say, I can imagine if you're working remote, it's probably a lot more difficult to do that. But even still, like, I think like if you're working on a project with like a different team, like you can like Slack someone on the side or like Teams them, just like, you know, asking a question and then just like start chatting a little bit too. But yeah, that's probably a lot harder.
Yeah. And as I guess, obviously Sonal and the team approached you about the list. What were your thoughts about it? Like, what was your initial...
I mean, I was honored. Like, I was like, me? No way. That's crazy. But also my boss, Stephanie, had been on the lead list 2 years ago. When I don't remember when that was. And so I was familiar with the lead for sure. So yeah, I was just like, I was just happy to be chosen. And I'm also happy to be on this podcast. I was like, this is where my imposter syndrome comes in, because I am still like 28 years old and like on the cusp of Gen Z. And I'm like, me? That's crazy.
No, that's so great. How do you think about what you're looking for, Sonal, for the list members individually, and I guess Margo in particular, what stood out?
I mean, I think first of all, like the brand performance speak for itself, right? If you're working for a brand that is in the news, performing well, doing good stuff, people will find you because they know you're the person sort of behind the scenes running the show. So that helps. And then knowing, you know, building those relationships, right? A lot of these folks are referred to us, nominated through the network. So like Margo said, like having those relationships, somebody will say, hey, you know, you should talk to Margo. That's not how we found her. But you know, like, I think that's key. I think in the industry today is like, it's not just about wide networking. It's also about nurturing those relationships with your peers, with your colleagues within the brands that help you get to the next job, right?
Yeah. And is there something you find in common amongst the honorees this year, especially as you're putting together the list for the first time? I mean, I'm sure it was difficult to just, like, what is this list really about?
Yeah. I mean, great execution skills. Like, that is definitely why people are on the list, because they're really good at what they do. And they really understand the consumer. Like, that's the key, right? In order to be a brand, you really have to know your consumer. I think couple of things, and I'm going to mention something that's common, and that's also some things that are not, like, that sort of bubbled up at me, is that one thing that a lot of people really talked about their teams. You know, at the director, senior director level, these people are nurturing people, are building teams, and the teams are really helping them achieve. So having the right talent at all levels of the brand is becoming really, really important. And so those folks are realizing they need the talent as well to succeed, and building those strong teams with good sort of, you know, a good chemistry. And then the one thing that stood out to me, and it's a trend that I've been noticing bubbling up, but really sort of I've actually seen it live now in as I did this list, is untraditional backgrounds, like Margo's, right? She typically doesn't come from like a MBA marketing you know, background. She comes from social media. I've seen other untraditional backgrounds that are making into these rules, and they're really bringing a fresh perspective, a new way of doing things, and a new way of relating to the consumer that you wouldn't. You still have a lot of the MBAs in the marketing backgrounds, and they're doing really well. But I'm seeing that those untraditional folks with untraditional backgrounds are really having a lot of impact.
Yeah, I think your point about non-traditional backgrounds is so important, because if you can have someone who has legitimate consumer insight and a pulse on what's going on, the tactics can be learned, and it's getting easier to learn the tactics every day. And clearly, you need to execute the tactics well, but if you don't, if they're not being pushed in the right direction, then like, can you talk about that balance between like sort of what you see maybe at brands, Margot, like this is the way we've always done things before versus this is what the next generation of brands need to do to succeed in consumers?
Yeah, I think obviously like we all are on the internet, like everything is constantly changing. So I would say like, it's not that black and white anymore. Like you need to be able to move quickly. Like if you see someone that's kind of like on the up and up, like you need to be able to go and sign them for a brand or like even as a brand ambassador as quickly as you possibly can. So I think it's like really just like that sort of like flexibility and adaptability is so important, because like, you know, like sometimes I feel like it's not really like this anymore. It's not definitely not like this at Authentic, but like maybe at some companies it is. Like you can have an idea of like, oh, we should sign this person, and it will take you legitimately 6 months to do it. And at that point, it's kind of irrelevant. So that's probably like the biggest
thing. Yeah, you missed your
window. Yeah. Like you have to be able to jump on things as they're happening.
And I guess this is for both of you. There's such an interplay between, I guess, the traditional 60 list and this next list. Everyone is always about giving advice to the younger generation or people that are up and coming. I would love to like flip it. Like, what advice would you have, Margot? Not necessarily for Stephanie, your boss, because obviously we're not going to put you on a spot like that. but I'd say more tenured leaders in the industry that they could be working on. To nurture the next generation of talent or to unlock the next level of growth in their brands?
Well, actually, I mean, I'll say this because this is what Stephanie does. So I feel like I've like learned it from her, but is really just encouraging your team to like create a space where you feel like, you know, you can go and like pitch an idea and like it will be welcomed. It will be heard, but also giving that freedom of like, oh, okay, you think that's a good idea, like go and do it. Like sometimes, like it's more so it's like, yeah, this is a great idea. Go execute it. Let's see how far down the line we get. So it's like creating that environment. It's just like not a stifling environment, I think is probably like the biggest thing that I've learned. Like I don't feel micromanaged. Like I feel like I have my boss that I can go to when I have questions or I need advice or something like that. But it's like, there is this freedom to kind of like bring these ideas to life. And that's essentially what I'm here for anyway.
Right. Right. And any thoughts on that, Sonal? Like, what are you seeing amongst the two lists and how they think about talent?
I think, you know, to Margot's point, empowering your team, I definitely see that this, you know, layer of leadership has a lot more control, a lot more authority in this generation of leaders than they did in 4 or 5 years ago, right? They're truly the ones embracing technology. They're working with these partners to come up with new solutions, working, you know, so there's a lot more authority being given to this particular, you know, level of leadership, which has great results, right? We're seeing these results in some of these legacy brands when you empower people to do things. And we're also seeing this change in like the mentality of legacy brands versus, you know, digital native or challenger brands, is that people are moving at a faster pace, like Marco said. They are scrappier. They're not waiting for approvals from 10 different parts of the organization. I think that has really helped some of these brands sort of leapfrog and really start to compete effectively.
Yeah, and I think we've all seen, and hopefully this is not incorrect to say, that you know, you walk into a lot of organizations and you see C-suite leaders, and then you see directors and doers, and the middle layers that used to exist just don't seem to exist as they once did. If you go back historically in the industry, are there Are you guys seeing that as well, Margot, like, or with your peers, or do you feel that there are an extra set of skills that are needed by up and coming leaders like yourself to operate in such an environment?
I don't really feel like I'm seeing that gap, but I mean, I'm just not seeing it here, but maybe at others. I'm not too sure, but I think in terms of like skills, you know, one would need to have, it's kind of what I was saying before of like being able to create an environment that's like open and like gives like your team that freedom, but also like, this might be like controversial to say, but like we're like me and my team and like, we're all like very close. You spend so much time together.
Yeah.
You're in the office every day. And I think kind of like having a little bit of like that friendship is pretty important, just because also it's like my team, if they need to like come and cry to me, like, okay, that's fine. Like I get it. Like, so it's like kind of having like, we're all human, you know, right. Like we work in an office and we are young professionals and absolutely, but we are also at the end of the day, all human. And so like being able to create that environment where like you can have like a bad day, like it's okay, is I think pretty important too. Cause it also makes it enjoyable to like come to work and like work for a company or a team that like you can kind of like feel like safe and comfortable and seen and heard in. I think that that's like huge.
Yeah. Are some of those qualities, do you feel, came out with other list members, Sonal?
I think that so many people gave, you know, thanks to their teams for success. So yes, I think, we're living in the age of AI and humans are even more important than ever, right? Like having those relationships with your supervisor, with your people who work for you and with your peers in the industry. They're all so, so important, more than ever.
No, I think that's great. I mean, there are probably a lot of people that want to know how the list was put together. What are the criteria? Does your manager have to sponsor you, or is it strictly peer thing, or those sorts of things?
Yeah. So we ask for nominations. So it could be your peers, it could be your manager, it could be the partners that you work with. It could be folks that know you, that've seen you speak on stage, you know, all different ways that we find people. And it's the criteria is really like, do you embrace technology? Do you show leadership? Are you great at executing? Are you, you know, adaptable? The things that require you to be successful in the industry. Like we're really sort of looking at all those things as we're having conversations with these folks. So most of the folks on the list are interviewed. And so we kind of get to their story and understand what makes them successful. So nominations are a big way we find folks, but we also just go out and look for folks that are working at brands that are making that change and really like invite them for an interview. And that's how we get started.
Got it. And clearly, this is the first year of the list. And so we're just getting started. Like, how do you see this play out in terms of the involvement of the leaders that you've selected in the next year and in the coming years?
So I think that we typically, with the Direct 60 list, we only feature someone once and then they're part of that fraternity. So I think we might do that with this one as well, right? So once you're in, you're in. Like you're a part of that group of, you know, high accomplishing individuals. And we hope that you'll bring in your friends and your colleagues and your peers next year to, you know, sort of join that community every year. So we feel like that word of mouth will help to grow this list year over year. And as the list grows over the next, we'll follow the trends and what's happening at leadership at brands and continue to sort of, you know, highlight those trends for our audience.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So, I mean, I really appreciate you guys being on and talking about the list, and so we can throw some light on it. I guess I would have the same question for both of you. You know, Margo as being a recent honoree, and Sonal, who obviously has sort of curatorship over the list itself. Like, if somebody wants to get on the list next year, what advice would you give them?
I would say, I think kind of also making like your work known. I think sometimes a lot of people especially in like senior director, or like, you know, director, like are kind of afraid to, because it's like there's so many cooks in the kitchen and it's like, I'm not taking credit for it, but like I worked on it sort of thing. So they're kind of just like afraid to brag about it. But I would say like brag about it. Like also because right. like we are like the ones like executing day to day, like we're in it, like you should get credit for your work. And so I think it's like, you know, writing your LinkedIn posts and like all of that and just like kind of making your work known, I think is the most important thing, because if you don't speak up for yourself, nobody will.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to build your brand these days. That's just, you know, part of what you have to do.
Everyone's an influencer.
Everybody's an influencer. Beyond LinkedIn, I tell people like beyond LinkedIn, you know, forward the stories about what your brand did, right? Like even if you didn't have much to do with it, just talk about like my brand is, you know, doing this. And people notice, you know, if your vendor invites you to speak on stage with them, go ahead. You know, if your PR team will let you do it, do that, because that's, you're not only talking about the, you know, what the great stuff that the vendor is doing, but also talking about your ability to work with those technology providers and getting results out of them. So, and you're building your brand in the doorway. And then finally, just like reach out to the lead.
You know, just ask.
Just ask.
Tell us your email address. We're going to bombard Sonal today.
No, just asking sometimes, like you'd see how many doors you open if you just ask.
Yeah, don't be afraid to promote yourself, shine a light on what you're doing, and ask for forgiveness, not for permission. I think those are all good
things.
Those are all great things. So yeah. It's been so lovely speaking with you guys. Hopefully this helps someone in the audience, as well as promote what you got, the great work that you guys are doing at The Lead, as well as you, Margot, as you continue your amazing career already with this recognition and at Authentic. Beyond there. So thanks so much for being part of it today.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
No, we appreciate it. Thanks again.